You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Oh, so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular upon spurs.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three already. Goodness, where is time going this morning? All right, real quick, star tournament update. Tagged reds, Texas Ford Dealers Red Tag Division. You catch one of these fish, you'll get you a new F-150 Ford pickup, a Haney Mercury Coastline boat package to go with it. And right now there's two weighed in. One's pending, polygraph, but tag number 1803 and 1722 in the red tag division. And Gary Merchant of Houston caught that first one, and he's in. And looks like blue tag division, that's for a transport boat, Mercury Motor Coastline package. Steve Isaacs, Mitchell Mays, Robbie Pratt, and Brian Cook. They're in, and looks good. All right, looking at Sheephead, leading Sheephead right now, was caught by Enrique Rangel, a 9-pound, 9-ounce. That's holding still firm. Gafftop, 6-pound, 1-ounce, caught by Justin Morrison of Lumberton. And a Black Drum, 11 pounds, 10 ounces, caught by Sue Lee of League City and Offshore. Only fish on the board right now is a ling, and that was caught by Danielle Grunewald of Freeport, 56 pounds, 15 ounces. So that's your Star Tournament leaderboard update. All right, let's run down to Corpus now and check in with our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb. Cliff, what's up?
Oh, man, glad to hear about that. People catch some fish in that Star Tournament. It's always always good to know if people are catching them. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see that Star, you know, the tag board, everybody tag out this year. Catch.
Yeah,
that,
and they really want them to catch them. You know, they
really
do. I got to be a part of that. That was really something Ryan let me release some of those fish and get to be a part of that. That was pretty neat.
Awesome.
I keep thinking that somebody's going to catch them in some of those areas that I've let some fish go, but nothing's happened yet down here. Of course, those fish could have swam off, but I hadn't heard anybody catch anything. I wonder if they've caught anything down here in Laguna Madre. They don't really tell you where they catch them, do they?
They don't usually. I think maybe the polygraph man knows where they caught them and what on, but we don't.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
How about that flounder you caught this week, man? What a beautiful flatty, brother.
Oh, the story behind that fish was crazy. So, I'm fishing Monday.
What's hanging out of his mouth, a fried chicken? Or is that
it was a trout support.
Trout support. That is a trout support.
Grass,
I just zoomed in on it.
That grass walker. Yeah, that grass walker that Tobin makes. But so what had happened is on Monday, I had these guys. I had them on Monday and Tuesday. And they fished me a lot, but they hadn't been down in 4 or 5 years. And they come down, and we'd had some great trips in the past. And we pile out on this one way. We get there super early, and we're catching fish, Mickey, but just male fish, one after another, little grunters. I mean, I couldn't believe how many male fish were in here, redfish. And so we pull the plug, and we move about 4 or 5 places, just tons of little fish again. I just don't know what's going on with some of these days. And finally, you know, about midday, we get up shallow, we find some big fish. But they are blowing that plug out of the water, that top water, and just not eating it, just making a foam ring and just never coming back.
Right.
You know, so we caught a few on tails there, nothing real big, maybe up to 5 pounds, but we know those fish are in there. And I think what would happen Monday, they were just so stirred up from the boat traffic, because this is an area where everybody was running, and I don't know if they were still spooked up or maybe somebody was in there fishing the flounder boats in there, but they were not really eating good. And so I go back in there on Tuesday, same guys, and we leave super early. We leave an hour before daylight. We're going to run down there and see these fish, because what happened, that was one of the only nights that the air temperature got down in the 70s. And so we knew that white sand was going to cool down that night.
Sure.
And those fish were going to pile up in there. And the second thing was, it's 2 days after, or a day after the weekend, and things have settled down, not near the boat traffic, so they don't feel so jittery. And as I'm trolling up to the shore, Mickey, I see two schools of trout. They're probably 30 to 25 big trout with their backs out of the water and their tails sticking up.
Oh,
and a guy goes, is that drum? I said, look at their tails. They got tips on them like flash water.
Yeah, speckled drum.
Y'all, it was so neat looking. You know, got that real pointed tail. And as I get closer, I can see their dorsal fin. They're in 18 inches of water, Maggie, 2 foot.
Wow.
And you can see their dorsal fin. So we turn sideways. We don't even have time to get a boat or nothing. We see sideways. And I said, don't bump nothing. I said, don't even step in the boat. And I said, when I get in range, you guys fire in there. Everybody fires, and there's like grenades going on. Oh, man, that's cool. You know, it was so cool. And then they just wake out. They just boom down the edge of the shoreline. You see all these wakes flying out.
Right.
So we land these fish, or 4 or 5 pounders, nice big trout, you know. And then we start picking off single wakes, catching, you know. I look down the shore another 100 yards. There's another big school
of trout. Up again.
It's another one. A whole different school.
They just came up, started waking.
Man. And we haven't seen this in years. I haven't seen
this
in years.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
I mean, it was just stupid. We go up there, boom, 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 big trout again, you know. Making a long story short, we're wearing them out. So by then, you know, by 9 or 10 o'clock, the sun's up. The fish have kind of pulled out of there. They they got out of the schools, but there's tons of singles landing there with their back out of the water.
Oh.
And I pull up, there's a big old trout laying there. Both my guys are hooked up, and I look up ahead about 60 yards. There's a toad laying there in the surf. I mean, on the shore. And so my guys get their fish in their bow grip, and I ease up there, and they throw at it, they throw at it, they throw at it, they don't get it. And I got that trout support on. And the fish is laying, like, there's a little belly on the shoreline. He's laying in that belly. You can kind of see it's a little bit deeper, and her whole back's out of the water. And I make a perfect cast off fire in there, and I get right from her nose. I twitch it. She turns, follows it, and stops. And just when I turn the handle, the crank to fire it, throw again, I feel a big thump. And I go, what the heck? I set the hook, and that's that flounder. That flounder was 5.5 pounds. That flounder was sitting in a foot of water just inside that pothole.
That was a doormat there, man.
That was a doormat. And that thing come up and raw off the top. And I go, look at this doormat, you know. But that's how we caught that flounder.
Beautiful
flounder was
picture,
super,
man.
Super
the spots on that fish and the color of it. Beautiful flounder, man.
Yeah. And that trout support, you know, when it hooked it, they just got that hook in the mouth so that fish can really fight and rock and stuff. But, man, that was pretty amazing, all those fish in there. But, that whole day, I don't know how many fish we caught Tuesday, but it was crazy how many fish were up on that super, super shallow water.
See, Tuesday was an off day for us. Our fish didn't bite good Tuesday.
God, it was just nuts. And then it gets better. So it's about 10 o'clock. I'm going out a little deeper to the shore. I'm kind of following the fish out deep, you know. And I flip a little John. No, the first one was the topwater. I throw a pink skitter walk out there. Boom! It's about a 15-pound tarpon. It jumps twice, and we go, I can't believe it. We ain't hooked a tarpon in two or three years. I'm just high-fiving. I go, at least I got two jumps out of it. About an hour later, there's another school of tarpon on top of the water, about 10 or 15 tarpon rolls. I go, you don't ever see this.
No.
We get out in front, everybody's throwing. I throw a little John there, thump. And it was just like a super light hit, like just took a tick. I couldn't believe how light it hit. And I'm cranking, nothing, slack, slack, slack. All of a sudden, the fish is under the boat. It went under my boat. I mean, I think I'm a good fisherman. I'm reeling as fast as I can. All of a sudden, that rod is, I just have to shove it under the boat. It's not that deep, so I almost break the tip. I shove it on the beach, under the boat. And right behind the boat, about 40 yards, this tarpon comes out about 40 pounds and just does the macaroni on the top, you know. And, of course, he breaks the leader. But, man, now to have two in one day is just stupid because, you know, I average one about every 4 or 5 years in Laguna Madre, jumping one. I've only caught one, you know. I caught that one was 35 inches, I think 15 pounds on a Meridine. But other than that, just like one or two jumps and it's game over, they break your leader. But that Tuesday was pretty special day, you know, just was crazy the amount of fish we caught.
Man.
Anyway, exciting. That was to see that. Yeah, to see that again, that many fish, you know. And
that's incredible.
God, you know, so it was something. And then, of course, I'm getting all these pictures from my buddy that the surf went down, and there's not a lot of surf right now. And these pictures I'm getting the surf are just crazy. This one friend of mine, he goes all the way down to Mansfield on the beach, and he drove all the way down the jetties by himself. I don't know how many tarpon he caught, Mickey, but he was setting his phone on the rock and video. He says, watch this, Cliff. He throws out in the channel, twitches him, boom! He's got a tarpon, and I'm watching him jump on the air, and it throws it. I said, I told you it's every cast, but he caught them every cast, and he was sending me a picture of like 30 and 40-pound tarpon he was catching on trout rod. I mean, that's just, you know, he just happened to hit the right day.
How much fun is that, dude?
Oh, my God. And the guy's really a good fisherman, too. The way he rigged, it was like a little baby coon pop. You know, he had a little wire tie on a circle hook, and he did the same thing like a coon pop, had a little worm on it. He was able to throw it on his waterloo. He's throwing a waterloo rod, throwing his waterloo out there with that little coon pop thing, and then when he hit it, they would break it, so he just had them on the circle hook. So the guy was really smart fisherman. I'm really impressed, but he always sends me good pictures of down the beach. Then, of course, I get a picture yesterday of about an 8-pounder caught in the surf on topwater. So, believe it or not, I've fished all week, but I'm going to the surf today. It's just going to be too good. So,
is your wind down there this morning?
Yeah, it's a little bit down. I think Doug's coming down. Doug Pike's coming down this weekend to fish. I think he's going to be down here. I think he's getting his son registered in college down here. So, maybe I'll get to fish with Doug today or tomorrow. But it was something, but. Yeah, just getting all these photographs while I'm fishing the bay of all the surf. So finally our surf is turned on, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It's good. Yeah, it's real good. And then on Thursday, I had a really neat couple. We slammed the fish on Thursday. About Thursday was really fun. So I got a couple that's fished me for years, and they fished tournament together, Jenny and Matt. And the funny thing is their last name is Newcomb, and Matt is throwing this bait called Nuke Juice that's made by Coastal Brute. And Newcomb is nuking them on Nuke Juice. He was catching so many fish on this bait. I said, man, they made that bait just for you. But
nuking
we're fishing
too.
Yeah, and Jenny, we caught fish. It was just stupid how many fish we caught on top water that day, then on plastic. So, you know, it wasn't as good as Tuesday, but we got back in there. It was pretty good. You know, it's just some good, solid fish. And the funny thing was, Mickey, every fish you catch right now just pukes up shrimp all over everywhere. I mean, there's that many shrimp in the bay.
That's what Rihanna was telling me. There's a lot of shrimp in the bay right now.
Unbelievable.
Even down her way, you know, when it's incredible to see them in Alizon.
Yes. Oh, it is. It is. And we're on the shoreline watching.
You don't see many shrimp in that bay.
That's exactly what it is. But that rain, that 8 inches of rain really helped Alizon. And that's what I'm seeing, too, is these shrimp up so shallow. You know, they're up there really shallow and like in a foot of water popping out of the water. And they're getting eaten, too. I mean, they're getting smoked.
Well, those trout are. I've never met a trout that turned down a shrimp. Never.
Yeah, I know it. I tell people
about
grizzly berry mice. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll
be
right back at you, brother.
All right, Mick.
All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. There's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have all of different bottles and regulators, diffusers, all that on display. If you need more info on it, you can call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farm-raised at Boyd's. It's all fresh Gulf shrimp and even their blue crab. They've been catching some beautiful crabs lately. They've been having specials on those, and they're even barbecuing some there at the Cajun Grill. Pretty special. All right. And crawfish season kind of winding down, but they're still getting them. And got a few for the public. So if you need something, call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 619. All right, let's go back with Cliff. Cliff, we're back, my friend.
All right, buddy. All right, man. I talked to a guy the other day on the beach and showed me an incredible picture of a tarpon he caught in Bath, and it was like 40, 45 pounds. Mm-hmm. And he caught this fish in the rocks, and he was able to work the trolling motor around the rocks and get this fish. He had a 30-pound leader and just, you know, 30-pound braid, and he landed this monster fish. But to get that fish out of the rocks is pretty impressive. But
yeah, it is.
I don't know what the deal is. It's so funny how we have these tarpon show up every year about this time, and then they really start getting thick the end of July and August, especially around some of these areas in Bath, and we have freshwater springs that are bubbling up from the bottom. People don't realize that. We have these sulfur water coming up in certain areas in the bay that bubble up from the bottom, and those fish really like that brackish water that they create. So do the snook.
Yes.
So, you know, and I think the locals have learned all these spots, and we've got a handful of these guys here that really get after these tarpon in the bay with their fly rods and stuff. And I really got a lot of respect for them. That's good stuff. You know, when you're targeting a certain species, that's not very many of them in a really, really tough environment around the rocks. You know, you're biting off a good chunk there to try to land one of those. But when we land one, it's an accident, Mickey. Like I say, I think that's probably 10 we jump now, land one out of 10, but you know, we're not equipped with 20-pound leader. You know, it's really hard to get one. You hope that the plug inside of his mouth never gets around his gill plate or wherever and cuts you off. But and then you got the hard mouth situation where
you got to hook it just right, man.
Just right with a regular hook.
That top lip, man.
Yes, sir. That's it. And then, of course, the circle hooks. You know, they catch more on circle hooks than simply because it, you know, they dig in the jaw there, but. You're throwing a treble hook on top water, your odds are not good. You know, that you're gonna get that thing in. You know, but what we're seeing too is some snook are showing up. People are seeing some big snook at night under their lights. They're not catching them, but I think this is going to be a good snook year since we had that 8 inches of rain and stuff. I think that the Bathin and Alathon's going to be producing some snook. I've even caught snook all the way in the back of Alathon like 30 years ago, you know, way, way back in the back in the way after a big rain. So, but we seem like we have a lot more now than we've ever had.
But, well, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And our fishery's good. I think everybody's catching right now, Mickey. I think the only slow day we had, you know, I think it was Monday, just simply because we couldn't get any big fish. It was just, you know, that's what happens. It's hardly ever slow. I just the size of the fish. It's amazing how one day you can wade 6 or 7 spots and you catch a whole bunch of dinks and a few good ones. Then you go back the next day, you start and it's big ones. You know, I don't know if those big ones are pulling there eating those little ones or, you know, that was the day the big ones were full. It's funny how, you know, those big fish are around those little ones. Normally when you catch a whole bunch of little ones, I leave, but I'm seeing some of these trout eating these big trout eating those little trout. So it's almost like a school of bait now, these little trout. They really like them, Mickey.
Boy, the food chain is cruel.
It is. It's, they really got a choice of what they want to eat. They can do it. Are you guys getting a lot of
cannibalistic trout? They eat their own.
Yeah, they do, man. Are you seeing all that bait fish in your system like we're seeing? This is the most I've ever seen, ever.
Man. You know? Not mullet like y'all are having down there. Mm-hmm. That's incredible how the – I mean, y'all got finger mullet, mid-size, and horse mullet.
Right.
I mean, and a big abundance on them. You know, and I noticed that last summer fishing down there with you when we fished the land cut, all the finger mullet in that land cut. I'm going,
oh, they're just – they're pouring through there by the millions right now. And we were in there it's the mouth of the land cut, and you can just see the bait coming out of the cut and just pouring down the shoreline, you know, ruffling the water. I mean, just acres and acres of bait. And sometimes I think it's bait overload where they've eaten so much, you know, your own fish, but they are so full. And that's what's so weird about these big trout. So they've got so much mullet to eat. They might not want to eat another mullet, but if you throw something small downsized, they'll go ahead and eat a little shrimp or something.
Yeah, they will. How, they need. Everybody needs a snack after a big meal.
Yes. And we're having a – y'all were talking about dead stick in your plastics. It's so funny because when we come across a pothole now, we're throwing a 1/16 ounce lead head on a Little John XL, and we flip it up there and let it sit in that pothole like 4 seconds before we move it, and you get ready to pick it up to the fish on it. It's funny how – some days they want that sucker just dead still. You know, it's like maybe they're so full and fat, they have to kind of barely want to swim over there and eat it, you know. I wonder what that's about, but that's funny.
Well, it's who was that with that big trout picture you sent me this week? That guy holding up that big trout in the surf.
Oh, that was Jimmy, friend. It was 8-pound trout in the surf on top
of it. Yeah, that's you talk about a healthy fish. The girth, uh-huh. I mean, everything has still had a good gut on it. It looked good, man. Yeah. Beautiful fish.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I fished the surf yesterday, and I had a really big one follow me up. But I got there, and right when I got in my little spot, a bunch of people come out there to swim in my little gut, so it didn't help.
Went swimming where you were fishing?
Yeah, they're the only tourists on the beach, and it's like this little gut that's real close, and I couldn't wait to get there, you know, and I get there and there's a hole finally piles out with their little inner tubes and stuff, and I can't say nothing, so I just walk off, you know, but they just come right in front of where, I mean, they're swimming where I was casting. I said, okay, I'm out of here. I just reeled it in, but they don't know any better, you know, so just go somewhere else. Just went somewhere else and went home and got the dogs and took the dogs for a walk. But I told myself not to fish. My shoulders are falling off, but when I get through talking to you, I'm probably going to go fish the surf. I'm just
there you go,
a big person.
Boy.
Yeah.
You don't think paddling a surfboard all these years has anything to do with those shoulders, do you?
Oh, my God. It's terrible. I figure all the cast on that right shoulder and all the paddling around, it's just, man, it's stupid. But anyway, it is what it is.
It's hell to get old.
Oh, well, better than the alternative.
Well, that's true. It could be worse. Could be pushing up daisies.
How far down that beach
can you go?
All the way to Mansfield.
I mean, you need a four-wheel drive, of course.
Oh, yes. Once you get off the pavement, you got about, I think like 8 or 9 miles, and you have a four-wheel drive sign. And it does mean four-wheel drive when you see that sign. And what you can do sometime on a low tide, you can run the low bank. But,
get out where the water normally was, and it's hard-packed sand, yeah.
Yes, yeah, but you can run that.
But a bull tide, that's a long way down running in that loose sand.
My wife and I should do that. I can't tell you how many transmissions I tore up when I was a kid running down that beach. God almighty, I thought that was the greatest place in the world. I had a four-wheel drive Jimmy, and we get those long rods and had that big old rack on the front of the truck and drive all the way down there to catch those redfish sharks and try to catch tarpon down the beach and tear up equipment. I don't know how much those bull reds cost us, but it was a lot.
Oh, well, the spoils of war.
It was fun. It was fun going down there and, you know, see how many rods you can set in the holder and throw out there. But I was a young man. I was in my 20s then. It's that's a lot of work. I walk up there with a topwater or soft plastic or something like that in the surf, and that's what I do now. I don't even worry about trying to throw bait or catching a whole lot of fish.
Well, there's nothing worse than being way down a beach like that, stuck and stranded.
Oh, so many people. And it costs you so much money when you break down there.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Is there any restrictions people need to know about if they're going down there to fish? I mean, I know.
Yes, I'll tell you what.
When you go in that park that we went into there to Bird Island, I mean, that's those guys are just looking for anything.
Well, those guys are really tough. I mean, they've cost people so much money. If the speed limit's 45, you do 46, they'll pull you over and give you a ticket and check your vehicle for open retainer. You can pull up at 5 o'clock in the morning, putting your boat in at Bird Island, they'll check your car for open retainers. They're not very nice, but
are you kidding,
it's funny
because,
no, they've got a bad reputation here. Everybody knows it. But, you know, the thing is, so they got the speed limit down to 50 miles.
If you're a beer drinker, don't even go there.
If you're a beer drinker, dude, you need to have everything in the cooler. Don't even have anything out there. And you know, they take people in. And the thing is, to get prosecuted, they take you all the way to Kingsville.
Oh,
and so
God.
They'll tow your car away, your boat, whatever, and take you all the way to Kingsville. So,
well, that's federal, right?
It's federal, and they really push their weight around there. It's crazy. But so they got the speed limit down to 15 miles an hour going down the beach. I just want to tell people because, you know, they say the turtles, but no one's ever ran over a turtle, but they got it down to 15 miles an hour. But and so they'll set up a speed trap down there. And they also have drones going up down that beach. And so what they do, they'll fly that drone, and if they see you drinking a beer with that drone, when you come back, they're going to check you and give you a breathalyzer test. So, if you drink a beer, put it in a container or something, because you're going to get checked, because they're going to see you. They pretty much watch everything on that beach.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so just be careful going down there 15 miles an hour. You got to go slow. It takes forever, you know, to go down there. But and it's you know, it's a... You got to have a good vehicle. You know, you better take some extra stuff. Take a shovel. Take two shovels. You know, we take a piece of plywood, two pieces of plywood.
Yeah, and hope you got a winch and take an anchor with you, too.
Yes, because back in the old days, we wouldn't pay attention. Tide, just weekend, we're going, you know. So, but some of that fishing off that jetties at Mansfield is stupid good. I mean, I can't tell you how many tarpon and snook and stuff we catch off those rocks. Golly.
Amazing.
You just don't have a lot of company down there, Mickey. I mean,
that's
some
good info right there. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let me do another break. Hang on. I'll be right back at you, brother. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market. Real easy to find right in downtown Belleville. Pull in, check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it and check out their bulk pricing. It's available on their fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage, along with homemade hot dogs, original and with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloin, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue party, block party headquarters. And their Chuck Wagon patties, check these out. Half-pound beef patties, seasoned to perfection and loaded with cheddar cheese. And you can try their grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky and turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. They're really good. And their wild game processing, open year-round. They never close. And their new sausage recipe that's available, you got to try it. It's incredible. And check out their deer tamales, venison hot dogs. The Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 6:34 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we are rolling.
Hi, buddy. I got a text a while ago from the guy that was down the beach catching those tarpon, and he says, I can't drive 55.
I can't drive 55. I love that song.
I don't know. It's because I guarantee you, man, when you're down there driving 15, ain't nobody around. You're going to go down. You're going to go on as fast as you can down that beach. But it's funny how they worry about running over a sea turtle. I just don't, you know, nobody's ever ran over one. I think that's pretty funny.
I know.
Anyway, that's crazy.
Well, that's like,
I saw something. Yeah. I saw something again this week I was going to tell you about. I haven't seen in years. So as I'm trolling out away from the shore, Mickey, we've got a lot of these cano rays, a bunch of those big cano rays this year, more than I've ever seen everywhere. You know, people think they're sharks. Well, I'm pulling out the trolling motor and I see these big wakes coming at us, you know, with the tips. Like, look at all those cano rays. And so I kind of get a little closer to them so everybody can look at them. On the top of those rays were about 10 or 15 big trout. And they were on top of those rays, cruising behind them. What they were doing when those rays, you know, flapped their wings or spooking up those little shrimp and stuff out of that grass. And those trout were picking them off. And, man, we went from real nice and calm to everybody grabbing a rod and trout out of the rod over, you know. It was hilarious. Of course, we didn't catch any of them, you know. They wouldn't touch nothing, you know.
But boy, I've had them hit top waters before.
Yeah, I know it, yeah. But those trout were right on top of those rays back, just cruising with them, and those rays were flapping their wings across that grass and kicking up those little shrimp and stuff, and those trout were, it was like cattle and egrets walking, you know, the cattle walking, the white birds hang around them and eat the grasshoppers that kick up. It's the same thing those trout were doing.
Man, like SeaWorld.
Yeah, it's pretty cool what I'm seeing in my bay system. And, you know, you don't see all this stuff, Mickey, when the wind's blowing. And this is the first 2 weeks I've had to be able to go places I want to go. I've just been stuck in a rut with this 40-mile-an-hour, you know, it's 25 to 30 miles an hour or more. And finally, I got an open field. I can go look. And then the thing that's happened, the wind has kept things really, you know, quiet. So people hadn't been able to get in there and disturb these fish. So once the wind dies down, it's like, God almighty, look at all these fish stacking up in here. So the fish don't care.
Boy, that lets you do a lot of different things you hadn't been able to do all year, man.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, and this just opens the field. And this is what's so cool about keeping records of your fishing. So you look back at what you did when the wind blew for 14 days straight, then it calmed down. You go, okay, this is where I need to be because these fish have been blown. The waves have kicked the shrimp up in the grass and blown in the shoreline, but you can't fish it because it's too rough. And finally, when it calms down, all that bait has been kicked up on that shoreline. The wind blowing that bait in that shoreline, it's still there. And then another plus you have is we deal with too much clear water here. Well, now that dusted water has sanded up a little bit, and so the next day you've got a little off-colored water. You got tons of bait and tons of fish. That's the day you want to go. 2 days later, it's cleared up, calmed down, the fish have it thinned out. But it's funny how that shoreline is getting pounded by the waves, especially if it's sand and not a lot of silt. You'll get so many fish piling into that area simply because it's pushed the bait over there over several days. And the first day it's calm, it's Katie bar the door in those spots.
Good. Yeah, that bait, it'll push it in there, and in a lot of your off-colored spots, that bait will try to hide in it, and those trout are ambushing the heck out of that crap, man.
Yeah, And it's funny how that is. So if you have a lot of calm days in a row and the water's super, super clear every day, it's a different game. You know, you got a real early topwater bite on shallow water, and then they get they feel exposed. They don't like it. They're going to pull to the next structure. And then you learn to fish to go out there in that 6-7 foot of water, 4-5 foot of water, and get in that structure because they feel safe pulling up against those rocks or an uneven bottom. They don't feel like they're sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
You know, trout has been chased by everything. You think about a poor trout. He's been trying to eat by a porpoise, a dolphin.
Since the day he was born, even his own people are trying to eat him.
That's it. That's it, honey. They don't forget that stuff, you know?
No, they don't. Redfish, I mean, hey, sharks, gar, I mean, all predators of the trout, not to mention those nice little friendly bottlenose dolphins you have down there. My gosh.
Oh, yeah. White Forest told me a great story yesterday. I saw him, and he was washing the boat, and he came out in the yard and said, man, I was fishing up against the shore, and I see this huge blow up on the shore, and I troll over there, and it's a dolphin. It's got about a 10-12 pound trout, and he pushed it up against the shore. Yeah, a giant trout. I mean, he said this thing was a monster, Cliff, and this dolphin was trying to get him, and that trout was running up on the shore. And White said when that trout turned sideways, it was real shallow to swim. He said it was like a foot wide. It was a big old silver thing.
Oh, Lord.
And that trout turned around the other way and finally got off the drop-off and hoped that the dolphin didn't get him. But that dolphin was pinning him up against that shore. He was running parallel. You seen those pictures of those sharks doing that? That dolphin was doing the same thing.
Yeah, they do
trout.
The same thing. I used to see that a lot in Louisiana fishing over there. They'd push him redfish and stuff right up on the beach.
And that's what he was doing with that big old trout. But that trout's lived long enough. He said, I played this game before. So he did the fake right and go left.
Right.
That's cool. That's what he did. But it's amazing how many fish they're eating. It's like Plog said, well, I was listening to Plog. He says, go ahead and let the dolphin have their breakfast, then we'll go in there. But that's kind of what it is. You don't really know. They're going to get their fish, you know.
Sure they are.
And it's not free. It's not free limit. It's whatever they want.
You know? Yeah, all they want. They don't have a limit. We do.
But it's amazing how smart they are, Mickey. But just when it's calm, you get the whole. You just see so much in the bay that you don't normally see when it's calm. It's crazy.
Well, are you seeing where these limits are? They're definitely helping you guys down there. For
oh
sure.
My God, it's incredible! And I got this one guy that he's been a guide a long time, and our dog just—he's so anal about these limits. He just hates them. You know, he just can't stand. I said, do you realize that when you're catching these big trout and releasing them, how much bigger tips you're getting? How much more excited your people are about coming back instead of going home and going, yeah, we got 10 pencils in the box and we were done by 10. And,
right.
You know, now it's about, hey, man, we caught a bunch of big ones, released them. We got our fish. We got a few reds, a few flounder. But it's excitement. It's really exciting catching big trout. You know, once you get on those big trout, you understand. It's different.
It's a whole different ball game.
From Florida. Yes. When you got people coming all the way from Florida that are professional snook guides and redfish guides coming down here to catch trout, it goes to show you how special big trout are. They're a special critter, buddy.
They really are.
And you know, as many as you caught, you know that, man.
I know. It's once it gets in your blood, it just you can't. I don't know how to describe it. It's a whole different aspect of fishing, the way we fish and everything.
I know it. I think about you in those old days with all those mirror lures, all those monster trout you were catching. And then now, you got all the fresh water and all the nature messing with you. I don't know how you keep your attitude up, your morale up, Mickey.
Well, it's not that good these days, really. I mean, I don't get as excited and fired up to do it because I know my chances of getting in a pile of fish like that are slim to none.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it'll come back. We're already seeing a big, remarkable difference. I mean, people don't realize how many fish we lost in that 2021 freeze up here.
Yeah, that was a real killer there, wasn't it?
You know, we were starting to come back real good after the big Harvey flood that just totally flushed the bay out. It just obliterated everything.
And that's the one that killed the oysters? Is that the one that
No, the oyster's been having a big problem for the last 10, 15 years. We had a drought from, 09 to about 014, then the oyster drill started affecting the reefs. And then we had all the flooding for 10 years. And the oyster, the habitat up here is just taking it on the chin. I mean, we lost all of our Orangia clam beds and everything, too. People don't realize how important those were up my way, Trinity Bay. You know, we do have live oyster and all that up there, or did, and we still got a little bit left. But nothing like before. But the Orangia clam beds, man, that's where I caught all my big trout on those. People would always focus on the oyster beds, but I pretty much fish those ledge patterns with the clamshell beds, and man, oh Lord, I don't have any big trout I caught fishing like that.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And it's, you know, with loss of habitat, and it's a delicate balance. I mean, look what would happen to your area, Laguna Madre and Baffin and all that, if y'all lost all of your grass. You just, all the grass, in the water killed all the grass, and then there's no more left. I mean, your habitat would just take a hit big time. You wouldn't be able to raise any
fish. Yeah,
that grass
is your filter. Yeah, it's your filter, too. That grass really filters it out, you know.
Yeah, people don't realize how much oysters filter the water.
That's what's amazing. 50 gallons of one oyster, 50 gallons or something a day? It's like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I love that smell of oyster. When I go up by Rockport and fish with Jay, that's the first thing I notice is that killer fresh smell of those oysters.
Yeah,
in Laguna Madre, you got the smell of dead grass.
You can kind smell of that, that salt and oyster smell. It's just, there's nothing like it. And you don't smell that on Galveston Bay anymore like we used to.
No. I remember when Mr. Jolly's, he had three daughters, and they'd come down to fish with us, you know. And the first time they came to Texas, it was dead summer. It was hot, you know. And they get out of the car, and they said, you know, it's your air's like dog breath, wet, hot, and stinky. And so it was like dog breath because
I think the stinkiest place on the coast is Mansfield.
Yeah. It
I mean,
is.
That
it can
grass
get that
down
way.
There, it's just it's rotten egg city. You get used to it, though. But when you first get down there to fish for 2 or 3 days, boy, you're going, man, how do y'all stand this smell? And by the time you leave, you're immune to it. You don't even notice it.
Yeah, well, before they did the causeway here, you know, we had this causeway here. Before it was raised up, you know, it was real low, and actually water would kind of come over the causeway, have to drive through salt water. That grass would stack up on that causeway before they opened
up.
Oh,
I bet.
And so people would... Just when they get in the aisle, they go, oh, my God, roll me. You know, you can't even roll the windows down when you go across the causeway. It was so bad. So at least that changed, you know. So, and I tell you what else Packery's done. So all of that West Shore, like Bluff Landing, all those places that people have boat ramps, before, without the causeway being raised, that water was stagnant for miles and miles down that shoreline. And that grass would stack up where you couldn't get your boat in. They would take big hooks and pull the grass out of the ramp so people get their boats in and out. This current has really helped that. It's still there, but we don't have near the dead grass and stuff we do on the King Ranch shoreline we used to.
Well, you know, another thing, too, with that Packery channel, that current now, I mean, y'all are going to start growing a lot more oysters, too.
Well, we are. We got a lot of oysters in our system. All around Marker 37, you've got oysters. We've never seen that before.
Boy, there you go. You talk about some more habitat to add to what you already have.
Yeah, so... And what we really need right now, you know, is a big rain from a tropical storm to give us some water back in our watershed, you know. But that rain that we had about 2 weeks ago, that 8 inches back in Alazan and all that area in there, that was a game changer for everybody back there, because that all those crabs and stuff that are getting ready to molt and stuff now because of that rain, those crabs, little crabs are showing up. And, man, trout love little crabs and redfish, you know, those small little crabs. And so we don't have that rain. We don't have those. And so the amount of redfish, drum, and trout we're going to get just on the crab molts and stuff are going to be unbelievable here in the next few weeks. So,
I noticed here the last 6 or 8 days I've been seeing Rihanna's catching some good fish back there wherever she's fishing.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's right.
Been seeing some really nice trout.
Yeah, we've been catching fish. We caught one the other day that was 29 3/4 weighed 5 pounds. I just think
like
your
gosh.
Arm. I can't believe it. We call it Mr. Anorexic, and I took a picture of it, but it just looked sick.
That's a needle gar, man.
I was a needle gar, man. We let that thing go, but it hardly even fought either. I don't know if it's just super old.
That's like
old,
that, one of the longest trout I ever caught was at the Tide Gauge Bar, you know, waiting it that day on a Bagley finger mullet. And Doug Bird was there. He was down by Cathead, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, "Mo, I got me a personal best and all this," and took it back to the boat and weighed it, and it weighed 712, and it was almost 32 inches long. It was just under on the jacket stick. I'm going, golly, what a snake!
Oh, they get like that. And I want to tell you about the check stick. Well, I got this in my mind. So I see this happen a lot. So you got these silver check sticks for your fish. You're laying them in the boat on your
baking
seat.
Baking in the hot sun.
and then you lay the fish on them. So what you need to do is lay that under the console or under the bow of the boat out of the sun. If you're going to wet
dip mine in the water, you know, and cool it off.
That's what we do, too. Yes. I take a wet towel, and then I'll wipe it before I lay the fish up there.
Yes.
You know, because, man, you're blistering the fish. And, you know, I tell these guys, too. I had some guys the other day didn't realize this. So, you know, they catch a little fish. Instead of just kind of leaving it over the side and trying to let it flop off, they'll sling in the boat, lay in the bottom of the boat, and pick it up. Well, you're burning the skin on the fish. You know, I hate to tell you that, but it's just
fixing to bring that up. You know, you'll see these videos on Facebook and social media and everything, and we already got our limit, but, boy, we're still catching them good. And they'll take a nice, you know, 18, 20-inch fish and just flip it over the side and just let it free fall and drop into the bottom of the boat and just go boom, and it's sitting there flapping. And that fish is toast.
Yeah, you know. And
he may swim off when you throw him in the water, but that fish
but
is not
toast.
Right.
Yeah, he's not, and he's weak, and he's going to get eaten by a predator because he can't get away from him.
That's exactly right. No slime left on him. He's done beat all the slime off of him, and then he's going to get bacteria and die anyway. I mean, it just, the care of fish, I mean.
Yeah, and that's what I like about Jenny and Matt the other day. I had him on, Thursday. Every fish that Matt caught, he ever put him in the boat, he would reach down, you know, get down on his knees and reach down and try to grab the lead head with a pair of pliers while the fish still in the water and pop it out, or just reach down, wet his hand, grab the fish while it's still in the water and pop it out. He hardly ever lifted up a fish. We didn't keep any fish. And so he says, well, we're not keeping them. Why put them in a boat? Didn't net them. You know, if we had a couple big ones, we snapped the boga grip on them, pull the hook out, take a picture, and ease it out. But I love how there's so many people doing this, even wading, they're wetting their hand first, grabbing the fish, releasing them. People are getting educated about taking care of their fish. I'm impressed with a lot of these guys. You know, I complained about a few of the guys.
The other day when I went with Steve on Tuesday, and this clown comes by us plowing, throwing a giant wake all over us, and we're working down the shoreline and catching a few fish. It wasn't great, but we were catching some fish, and we were trying to get a couple of reds because we wanted a couple of half-shell reds to take home. He comes plowing by, throws a wake all over us, almost threw us out of the boat, then pulls in front of us, cuts us off, and then he catches a trout, and he flips it up there. First thing he does is wrap a rag around it to take it off the hook, and then throw it back in the water. I said, why didn't you just box that thing? I mean, come on.
That's terrible. God dang. Oh, man.
No, shark
people
bait.
Don't realize how sensitive they are. Yeah,
gar bait, man.
Yeah, that's funny. You talk about the gar. I've seen a couple of big gar heads when I come into 37 the other day. I don't know who's catching these gar or where they're catching them, but they cut the heads off. We've got alligator gars, gap top. We're getting all kinds of stuff down here, Mickey. I don't know what's going on.
It's pretty easy to get a trash can slammed now.
That's possible, but so tell me about gaff top. We caught that one gaff top. I'm hearing some other people catching them. Is that because we got the freshwater? Why are they here? I mean, we caught that first one, then I've heard two or three other guys catching
them. Know.
They need freshwater. Is that what it is?
Well, they
maybe
come to
the
it.
Shrimp.
I mean, they come up. That freshwater doesn't deter them at all up my way. I mean, and they are a saltwater, you know, offshore-oriented fish, but they come in every year, and they go straight to the freshwater, kind of like the bull sharks do, you know? And here in about a month, we'll be catching them, and they'll have all them big marbles in their mouth. You know, they're mouth brooders, so the females lay the eggs, the male gaff top, put them in their mouth, and they hold on to them till they hatch, and then they let them swim out of their mouth. As babies.
Yeah, I think you were telling me you'd catch them and they'd spit them out in the boat. Is that, oh gosh.
Yeah, you'll catch one and somebody will pick it up and bring it in the boat and it'll start shaking its head and all those marbles start flying out of its mouth. Look like little eggs. I mean, they're nasty. You step on them and I mean, they harden. You need air chisel to chisel that stuff off.
Oh, no. Pressure they're bad. They got those big old fins. Yeah. My buddy Barry got finned in the hand with one of them. I don't know how that turned out, but that's got to be nasty, man.
Boy.
You just keep those up there, Mickey. I'm good with not having them. We're all right. We got enough trash fish here.
Well, sometimes. What old Jack Holland called them? He called them pinch hitters. He said when a trout fishing slowly gaffed off are good pinch hitters. They're fun to catch. No thanks.
Well,
I'll take your word.
Yeah, we
for
got
it.
Working birds, but they're skipjack. They're little trout or skipjack, and you guys get the gaff top under the birds. Someone told me that there will be solid gaff top.
Well, we get gaff top under the birds, and we're starting to, skippies are starting to move in up here, too. And a lot of trash can slam stuff under the birds right now. And there is quite a few, you know, areas of the bay that birds are working, you know, on the shrimp.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of garbage pushing them up, too.
When does James start doing the tarpon deal? Is it like July?
Well, 4th of July is coming up, and that's usually when they start looking, you know, and start
milling
around
if
the weather lets
them.
You know, you just got to run up and down the beach and look for them.
Yeah. It seems like we have more than ever, Mickey. I mean, I'm hearing more stories about tarpon in the surf and the jetties and in the bay.
That's what Brian told me yesterday when I talked to him. He said, Tell your buddy James they're on the way. He's sending them. They're moving through.
Oh, good God.
Headed north.
That's something, man.
And see, that's what's so unique about Galveston. You'll get a lot of fish from the south that'll come up this way and stack up in this area from Freeport, Galveston, over towards Sabine. Then you get that flow of fish from the east, you know, from Florida and Louisiana. And they'll, you know, by September, you've got the best of both worlds. You got fish.
And where are the tarpon going, Mickey? Where are they going when they come from south? Where are they headed?
They just migrate. That's just the way they do.
And they're just going north down the coast, and then when it gets the fall comes, they go back south into Mexico?
Right, and then they'll go back to the east, you know, towards Florida for the winter, too, you know, where it's warm.
Wow.
They stay with that warm water and the bait.
I've got to tell you about a tag trout. My buddy caught a tag trout that was tagged in the east cut of Mansfield and caught it in Alazan and Three Sloughs.
Wow.
That's a lot of migration. It was 18 months. 18 months, and that fish had moved that much. That's what, 50, 60 miles. So don't think that some of these fish don't move. That was pretty fast. That was pretty interesting right there.
That's true. I think y'all's fish down there move a lot more than ours do.
I think you're right. They kind of move with the salinity level and the bait level and all the other stuff.
You're right. All right, buddy. Well, go to the surf, see if you can catch you an 8-pounder this morning.
I just want one for dinner.
There you go.
I just think I got 18 inches.
Catch you an 18-incher then.
That's what I want, buddy.
Well, Cliff, somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them a number, my friend.
All right, Mickey, area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate you having me on, Mickey. Thanks, buddy.
I love it. It's a lot of fun, Cliff. Good talking to you. Right, I'll see you next week. Later, man.
Thank you, man. Okay.
All right. All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.